Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Big day today in Foxborough. We not only had the induction of Ty Law into the Hall of Fame, but the Patriots had a practice inside Gillette Stadium.
Ty effing Law.
I was getting to that.
You don't introduce the, you know, Barack Obama without the president. You don't introduce Ty Law without the effing.
Okay. All right. That was by far and away the highlight of the evening here in Foxborough. A lively crowd here to watch the Patriots in-stadium practice. I would say somewhere around 20,000, Andy. Not sure. We'll see if we can get an official
total.
Lower
bowl, pretty much full.
Lower bowl was pretty full. And a lot of cat calls.
Well, I think.
A lot of cat calls for PFW as well. Andy and Paul had a lot of fans coming off the field. Well, fans in quotes. Not sure if they were with us or against us.
Your boy Rook was pumping your tires there on the PA.
We appreciated that.
We did hear that. So Ty Law, great time, lots of laughs, and evidently Bill Belichick really enjoyed it as well because he spent the entirety of practice on the sidelines speaking with Ty Law, Rodney Harrison, Lawyer Malloy, Otis Smith, Bobby Hamilton, Max Lane, a lot of former players around to take part in that ceremony. Teddy Bruschi was here as well, although I did not see him on the field after practice. He may have been. I may have missed him, but
Robert Kraft and his limited edition Ty Law gift.
Kicks.
Nike.
Bedazzled.
Bedazzled Patriots.
Patriot colors, sparkly.
Lord only knows what shoes.
Something that I think a 13-year-old girl would probably be embarrassed to wear, but hey, you know, I'm not exactly the hippest dude on the planet.
Pretty sure if you're Ty effing Law, you wear what you want. And if you're a billionaire like Robert Kraft, you wear what you want.
Right. So that was the situation before practice. Once practice began, the lights were on, Andy.
But no.
But evidently, everybody was told, not necessarily told what time the show would start, because it was a lot of the second tier players. Tom Brady, Darrell Revis, and company were little more than spectators after the positional drills took place. Before we start,
sort of felt like a fourth preseason game.
Right, like Eric likes to say, a little housekeeping. Same 10 players today that didn't practice yesterday remained out of action. PUP, Aaron Dobson and Jeremy Gallen. NFI was Dominique Easley, Chris Martin, Deontay Skinner. We haven't seen any of those five in uniform all camp. Remaining out, Jamea Thomas, Brian Stork, Michael Manawanui, Cameron Gordon, and of course, Tyler Gaffney. Those are the 10 players that did not practice. What we did see on the field, Andy, again, a lot of the younger players, a lot of second and third teamers getting some reps and full team action. I thought Ryan Mallett really struggled. He had the full 11-on-11 work to start off. First play, interception. Maybe the third, fourth play, he had a Derek Johnson wide open down the sideline, overthrew him by plenty. And then I believe the snap right after that, he turned the wrong way on a handoff and missed it with Jonas Gray. So not his best work of the summer.
The only thing I would say is insert Jimmy Garoppolo's name there, and pretty much everything holds true. He did almost the same types of things, was terrible,
absolutely,
rolling out of sacks, missing deep balls, running into running backs on handoffs.
Yep.
Both backup quarterbacks, I thought, really struggled and, you know, didn't necessarily look like they were ready to be on a game field, which is what they were. They were on a game field scrimmaging. As you said, the twos and threes, it was fair fight. You know, what we're going to see on that very field,
Thursday
in the
night.
Midway through the first quarter on Thursday night. So, yeah, it was a little disappointing, I think, from that stance. Now, I will say, I thought a couple of the running backs, I thought both Gray and Stephen Houston looked pretty good, had some nice runs, made some nice cuts. We should update, Roy Finch made a nice move on a little swing pass to the right side and then was tackled low by, Steve Boharnes on the sideline. Also took out some defensive players on the sideline. Kenoris Davis was one of them. They both stayed down for a little bit. Davis got up and seemed to walk it off. Finch got up and kind of limped it off, I would say. So something maybe to keep an eye on early next week as we head down to Washington if Roy Finch is a little dinged up. But
right.
In general, I thought some of the young players struggled and didn't look quite ready. But a lot of that, you know, when you have a scrimmage setting, which is sort of what that was, twos versus twos, if the quarterbacks can't get it done, then the other 21 guys have a hard time because everything revolves around the quarterback running the play, and they struggle.
Let me ask you, Andy, do you think, you know, and I know they're professionals and everything, but do you think moving inside the stadium, the lights are on, there's about 20,000 people in the stands, maybe a little extra juice? Do you think maybe the nerves might have kicked in a little bit?
I don't really. I just think neither one of those two backup quarterbacks has been very consistent through camp. They've, you know, Mallett's had some flashes, good throws here. He had that one practice last Sunday, I think, that was pretty impressive. Garoppolo has pretty much struggled throughout. You know, I do think the jump, I think it's more the jump from Eastern Illinois to New England in the NFL, more so than the jump from the practice field to the game field inside Gillette Stadium.
Right.
I think he's dealing with that jump, and it's been a struggle.
Right. You know,
we should say Taylor McCullough. No, Tyler.
Tyler.
Not Taylor. No. Tyler. Tyler.
No, I think it's Taylor.
Okay. McCullough, now wearing 48 in the white. He's been dabbling as an offensive player, but tonight came out with his white game jersey on, 48, and he still had his gray defensive pants on, but took, interestingly, was with the running backs early in some drills, going through the bags and various things, and then was with the tight ends later, so sort of that James Devlin tweener role. Be interesting to watch him as he, and speaking of James Devlin, I don't know if you noticed, they did the square drill with the tight ends, which usually is the receivers breaking. They
Correct.
Did that, and he looked pretty good. Pretty fluid, caught the ball well, reasonably athletic. Jimmy Devlin getting it done.
Yeah, he has very soft hands. I agree with you on Devlin. It's you know, he doesn't look like a guy who would be able to catch the ball all that
part
effectively.
Of that is the big neck roll thing.
Because he's so big, but he does have pretty soft hands.
Yeah,
I think he moves around pretty well. We saw a lot of special teams periods tonight. It was an abbreviated practice, only about 90 minutes, and I believe they touched on all four of the core units. I think the kickoff return, punt and punt return all saw a short segment. Saw a lot of Travis Hawkins continuing to get reps as a kickoff returner.
Wilson Van Hooser, the only white jersey on kickoff coverage on the kickoff team.
Yeah, which was interesting.
Something just to keep a note on. You know, as you start to say, practice squad guys, athletes, guys that you want out there, you know, he might be an option down the road. I've liked sort of what I've seen from him in camp.
Another guy who stuck out to me a little bit on the positive side was Justin Jones, big tight end that you and I have been talking about a little bit, been impressed with his blocking. Today he got a chance to catch a few passes, one Gronk-like down the seam in traffic, not an easy catch. He had a lot of bodies around him, and he was able to secure the ball. And then very late in practice, he caught one, looked like maybe a red zone drill near the goal line. Another pretty tough catch. So maybe he's coming on a little bit. He's certainly getting the opportunities with both Gronkowski and Hooman out of the lineup. It's been DJ Williams and Justin Jones. Asa Watson sort of well behind those two. So interesting to see if maybe he can carve out a role as a potential practice squad guy.
And he, with those guys out, he's the more in-line true tight end, whereas DJ Williams, a little bit more of the move-type tight end. DJ Williams actually had a ball go right through his hands tonight. Wasn't his best effort. But, yeah, I think Justin Jones, I still think he's a guy that is destined for the practice squad. I don't think any of these sort of second-tier tight ends are going to make the roster. Now, obviously, if Hooman has a serious injury, there's a concern there of how that plays out. But I think these guys are
battling.
We should say
he's been out now for the balance of the week. He got injured on Sunday,
and
he has not practiced at all this week. It'll be interesting to see if he even makes the trip to Washington on Sunday with the team.
And defensively, before we wrap this puppy up, we should talk pre-practice when there were a lot of starters out there sort of going through their walkthroughs. A lot of three-man fronts, odd man fronts, Vince Wilfork over the nose, Tommy Kelly getting some left defensive end in the 3-4 work, right end was Will Smith or Chris Jones, and I thought most interesting was the linebacker position where you had Jamie Collins and Gerard Mayo on the inside, and you had at left outside linebacker Dante Hightower, and on the right side you had Rob Ninkovich. Yes, for that drill, I don't know why Chandler Jones wasn't really in that seven-man mix.
Is
up
it
front.
Possible he's... You know, if they want to use that 3-4, he's the situational rusher?
It could be. You know, and I've said I think he's going to struggle to find a role in a 3-4 defense. People said that all offseason. Oh, let's go 3-4. I don't think he has a real ideal fit in there. But, you know, it's something we're seeing dabblings of the last couple practices. Who knows where they go with it as camp rolls on.
Yeah, after practice, Bill Belichick spoke to the media. Darrell Revis, I think Devin McCourty was speaking a little bit too. Matthew Slater. Not as many players made available after this one. Most of them, if not all, signed several autographs for the fans. There was a lot of as I said, a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm in the stadium tonight.
And Rodney Harrison signed your bald spot, right?
Rodney Harrison walked by me and snubbed me, but no, I'm just kidding. Fred was making fun of me, saying I was making puppy dog eyes at him. But, you know, unlike Fred, I didn't choose to be to use it as a moment to serve myself, and I just let the players go on. Didn't have to go home and say, hey, remember me? I used
All
to cover
right,
you.
Wrap this up.
All right, so the Patriots head to Washington. Andy and I will be among that travel group on Sunday. Kevin will be down there. We will hit you with a podcast on Monday from Washington, and then, of course, PFW in Progress on Tuesday. Until then, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.